Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's May 16, 2011, and this is episode 286. About 6 months ago, I decided that it was time to make my compact digital camera really compact. I traded in my Canon PowerShot G10 for a PowerShot S95. The G10 was a nice camera, but it's not really all that compact. It certainly isn't small enough to just sort of stuff in your pocket. Also, although when I first got it I was happy with the image quality, the more I used it, the less satisfied I became. There was a noisiness about the images that started to stand out more and more as time went by. One of the appealing things about the S95 though is that Canon dropped the megapixels from 15 in the G10 to 10 in the S95, and its big brother, the G11, I think it is. They obviously realized that it was time to start listening to their customers and give us cleaner images rather than megapixels. Don't get me wrong on this, I'll take the megapixels in the full-size sensor cameras, but I'll take as much as I can, as long as it's not at the expense of image quality or high ISO performance. That wasn't the case with the tiny sensors that they put into the compact digital range, though. They just couldn't make 15 megapixels, at least not with the technology of a couple of years ago, and I'm not sure if they can even today. Before we jump into this main topic today and start to take a look at the S95, I'd like to give a mention to our current sponsor, Whiteleaf. Whiteleaf is a management consulting firm that offers strategic services to international businesses. Rodrigo Caetano, founder of Whiteleaf, specializes in developing business strategies for small and medium-sized companies operating in Canada, Brazil, and around the world. For MVP listeners who need a hand creating their global business strategy or just want a second opinion about their current strategy, Whiteleaf is offering a complimentary one-hour consultation. For more information to take advantage of this special offer, visit the website whiteleaf.ca/MVP. This isn't an offer designed to get you in the door and then squeeze loads of cash out of you later, I can assure you. Rodrigo is a fan of the podcast and honestly just wants to help our listeners. And this is his way of doing that, so don't be afraid to get in touch for a consultation. I'm not going to go into great detail on the spec of the Canon PowerShot S95. If you want to check out full specs, you can see them on Canon's website or DP Review. What I do want to do, though, is to talk about the features that I found attractive enough to trade in my G10 for. First and foremost, as I just mentioned, is the improved image quality. A friend had bought an S95 and showed me some of his pics, and I was really impressed with the quality for a compact digital. Although the S95 produces smaller files or lower resolution images than my high-end digital SLR cameras, the quality really is exceptional. Of course, you end up with only half the pixels, so you can't print as big at the same quality, but for general use and reasonably big prints, 10 megapixels is plenty. To illustrate my point, first, here's a shot of the Polar Pioneer, the ship that we were on in the Antarctic and Falklands recently, with a Magellan Penguin in the foreground and a beautiful sky and sunset behind. The story behind this is that we'd walked to the other side of Barron Island in the Falklands to shoot the sea lions and elephant seals, and we were on our way back to base when I shot this. Walking through the long grass and the tussock grass was hard work, and we didn't have a lot of time to get back to our base where the Zodiacs would come to pick us up. As I saw this scene, I thought for a second, about changing lenses, putting on my 16 to 35 or 24 to 70 millimeter for this shot. But then I recalled the S95 in my pocket and I figured that that would be fine. I actually had a moment when it wasn't in the pocket that I'd expected it to be. And that was a little bit of a panic moment. But, I thought I'd dropped it for a while, but then I found it in a different pocket and I shot this image. You can see here in this 100% crop of the ship, though, that there's plenty of detail in there. Although it's very dark and as I basically shot this as a silhouette to show those beautiful rays of light from the sun coming through the cloud, there's a tiny bit of grain, and it's not quite as sharp as you get from a high-end digital SLR. But hey, it's a $399 compact digital camera that fits in your pocket. I have no complaint, that's for sure. Look here too at a 100% crop of a section of the sky. You can see that although I've blown out some areas of the cloud for the sake of the rest of the photo, it's blown out in a very pleasing way, with plenty of detail around the cloud itself that isn't blown out. We've even captured some of those very subtle rainbow-coloured cloud edges, which is quite impressive. It goes without saying that I want even a compact digital camera to shoot RAW images and have manual mode. I'm more likely to use aperture priority in a compact digital, but I simply feel more comfortable in manual mode. And there are times when I want total control over the exposure. One thing that always annoyed me with compact digital cameras, though, is that because you only have limited space for dials and buttons, you often have to jump through hoops to use them in manual mode. Canon solved this on the S95, though, by adding what they call the control ring. This is a ring around the base of the lens that can be easily turned with your fingers as you compose your shot. You can see the ring here in this photograph. It's the largest ring around the lens in this shot of my S95. What makes this control ring totally awesome, though, is that you can change which settings on the camera the control ring changes very easily. Even more useful, though, is that Canon assigned a different standard function to the control ring depending on what mode you're in. For example, if you are in manual or aperture priority mode, the standard function for the control ring is to adjust the aperture. Makes a lot of sense. If I switch to shutter priority, the control ring adjusts the shutter speed. Again, makes a lot of sense. There is another dial on the camera on the back between the four other buttons, as you can see in this photo. And the other cool thing about how Canon designed this little beauty is that as you select different shooting modes, this second dial also changes its function. So when I'm in manual mode, with the control ring changing the aperture, the dial on the back changes the shutter speed. If I'm in aperture priority or shutter priority mode, the dial on the back of the camera adjusts exposure compensation. The other setting that affects exposure, of course, is the ISO. This is usually at least one button press, then a dial on digital SLR cameras. So I'm not necessarily concerned about having this as a dial for direct access. But if you want that, you can change the operation of the control ring to change the ISO if you feel that that works better for you. If you press the function set button in the middle of the back dial, though, the first setting to appear is the ISO. And you change it with the back dial, so it's very much like how you change the ISO on a digital SLR. You can also move up and down in this menu by pressing the top and bottom of this back dial. And that gives you instant access to white balance, bracketing, drive mode, which is, you know, whether you shoot one shot, continuous frames or continuous AF. You can also change the image type, as in RAW, JPEG or RAW plus JPEG. These settings are almost easier to access than they are on a digital SLR body, which is great. Getting back to the control ring briefly though, before we move on, I generally leave it in the standard function mode that, and I just use what Canon decided to assign to the ring on a per mode basis. But there's a button on top of the camera to change the function assigned to the control ring. One press of the ring function button gives you a list containing standard, which is what I just said, you know, it assigns the default function that Canon decided to assign. The next one there is ISO, you have exposure compensation, manual focus, white balance, zoom, eye contrast, aspect ratio, and custom. And I've not used this yet, but I can imagine that while being able to use the control ring to manually focus, for example, while doing macro work would be great. The zoom as well. I have tried this, but basically you can assign the zoom function, and it allows you to basically zoom just like you do by turning a ring on a standard lens. And it really is nice to be able to just assign these settings to the control ring. The lens on the S95, by the way, is in 35mm equivalent, is 28mm to 105mm, which is a nice range. The S95 understands and allows you to change the time zone, so it was quite easy to set the time to Buenos Aires time as I headed out there at the start of our Antarctica trip. This is something that Canon SLRs have been missing, and I hope that they get soon if the recent models don't already have time zones. In the camera settings, you can superimpose a histogram over the image on the LCD, as well as to superimposing a grid over there to aid in composition. You can create two settings in the menus. This is, you can create two settings that basically, so when you press the display button on the back of the camera, it toggles between the two settings. So, for example, you can set it up so that one of the settings will show you all of your shooting information, the histogram, and the grid. But then you can have a second setting that only shows the grid, for example. Then when you press the display button on the back of the camera, you can remove the histogram and shooting information instantly, leaving just the grid, so that there's nothing on the screen to get in the way while you're composing your shot. The S95 has built-in image stabilization, which is nice, especially as light drops. I was able to handhold for a quarter of a second exposure for this shot in the National Cathedral in Buenos Aires. The larger pixels or photo sites provides us with the ability to use relatively high ISOs without introducing a lot of noise or reducing the image to a piece of total crap, as with earlier compact digitals. Here is another image that I shot inside the National Cathedral, but this time I chose ISO 1600, which I simply would not have selected with my G10. But the image quality is quite incredible. To show you what I mean, here's a 100% crop of a section of the image for you to see that the grain is really very acceptable for an ISO 1600 image from a compact digital. If you're listening on an iPod or your iPhone, by the way, and you can't really see the detail in these 100% crops, then do go over to my blog, because the images are all there for you to take a close look at. I was also attracted to this little camera because it shoots 1280 by 720 video at 24 frames per second. This is not full high definition video, but the majority of the video that I release, through this podcast or whatever, even though I shoot it in full HD quality, for the web, I generally encode it at 720p. So I could use footage shot with the S95 II if necessary. I actually shot some video with the S95 at my exhibition last December, and I was surprised by how well it could be handheld, and helped, of course, by the image stabilization. What shakiness is left could probably be easily removed by the new warp stabilizer feature in Adobe After Effects CS 5.5, which I'm really looking forward to trying out. Some things like the quality of the video and the low noise at higher ISOs were really added bonuses after I bought the S95. I had held the S95 before I bought one, but as I use it more, I'm really happy with the form factor too. It feels solid and high quality in the hand, and the size is perfect. I carry my iPhone with me everywhere, but I really want a little more control and larger resolution images if I'm going to use those resulting images as art pieces reproducing at a decent size. Although there's a dust cover that closes and protects the lens when the camera's turned off, you don't really want to be putting the camera into your pocket or bag unprotected, so I bought the Canon-branded case that's available here in Japan. Here's a photo of the camera half in its case, and you can see that it's really low profile. It's a leather case or a leather feely sort of PVC whatever case, so it feels nice to touch. There's a magnetic clasp to keep the cover closed too, but it requires just the right amount of pressure to open the case. This protects the camera while it's in my back pocket or thrown into my bag, so whenever I'm heading out without my SLR, this is now with me so that I don't miss a photo opportunity. Now, of course, if I'm going out to photograph something where I'm going to need very shallow depth of field, something that compact digitals are not good with, or higher resolution images, or if I'm going out to do a commercial shoot, then I'm going to reach for my digital SLR cameras. But being able to get images this good when necessary without carrying all the gear is nice. The reason that I shot in Buenos Aires is another good example. The reason that I shot with the S95 in Buenos Aires is another good example of when a nondescript compact digital camera can make sense. When we were heading into town from the airport, the person that met us at the airport to take us to our hotel told us, Buenos Aires is a safe place, but sometimes people get robbed with a gun or a knife, so be careful. This was enough for me to go with the S95 when I didn't have any serious photographic objectives. Of course, I carried my gear when necessary, but just for a walk around town, like when we ended up going into the National Cathedral, the S95 was camera enough. In conclusion, I'd just like to say that, if you're looking for a small carry-around camera that you really can just put into your back pocket, but also one that will shoot raw images and has manual mode to give you full control, then I can highly recommend the Canon PowerShot S95. It's helping me to get some shots when the full kit just doesn't make sense, so I'm very happy that I picked up my S95. That was of some use to you. Before we finish, just a quick reminder that you can get the free business consultation from Whyteleafe, and you can see the details of that at whyteleafe.ca/MVP. And I'd also like to thank Rodrigo once again for supporting the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Thanks to you too for listening today. And remember that you can find me on Flickr and Facebook, as well as Twitter, and of course my blog and the photography forum. All links are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.